Okay, good afternoon. So today I'm announcing that Cabinet agreed New Zealand will join the Copenhagen Accord on Climate Change and will be submitting our existing conditional 2020 target range. It looks like Audrey picked that in one by the smile on her face. This is a constructive step forward to developing a comprehensive global deal on climate change and reinforces New Zealand's ongoing commitment to doing our fair share to resolving this global problem. We've done this while always mindful that we must balance our environmental responsibilities with our economic opportunities. We will play our part, but we must also be aware of any impact our actions will have on jobs. We have submitted a conditional emissions reduction target range of 10 to 20% below 1990 levels by 2020, which is the same as our previously stated position. Some of these conditions include the following. Firstly, a global agreement that sets the world on a pathway to limit global temperature rises of not more than 2%, comparable efforts by other countries, effective rules governing land use change and forestry, full recourse to a broad and efficient international carbon market. A press release is being issued shortly from the offices of Nick Smith and Tim Grosser. I would make just one comment on that particular point, and that is that the expectations from developed countries were that they would reach an emissions reductions target of between minus 25 and minus 40%. The initial analysis that we've had is they haven't reached that target, which means it's very important that New Zealand's conditions are met if we're to continue to set our minus 10 to minus 20% reductions target. If those conditions aren't met and other countries don't step up, New Zealand would reduce its emissions target. Moving on to Waitangi Day, I'm looking forward to attending Waitangi Day celebrations this year with a number of ministers and MPs. I'm also pleased to say that an estimated 60 members of the diplomatic corps will be joining New Zealanders at Waitangi this year, and I'm delighted they'll be marking this important day of celebration. No doubt the weather at Waitangi will be better than what we've been getting here, and no doubt the festive atmosphere and unstinting hospitality will help create a memorable and moving day. Following the pattern of last year, I'll be going up to Waitangi on Friday the 5th of February and visiting the Titi Marae before undertaking a range of functions and activities during the afternoon and evening. On Waitangi Day itself, I'll attend the dawn service at the Waitangi Meeting House and host a breakfast for invited guests before departing for Auckland later in the morning. Tomorrow, there will be the all-day National Party Caucus at Premier House starting at 10 a.m. There are a range of items on the agenda. But amongst those, the business of caucus will have an update from Bill English on the economy. There'll be discussion on tax issues, social policy, and a range of other issues. Really, that's it for me today.
When you say you've reduced your targets, what would you reduce them to?
Well, I don't know. I mean, at the moment, look, it's subject to what a final agreement looks like, and we're a long, long way from that at the moment. But New Zealand, I just simply make the point that New Zealand's minus 10 to minus 20% target was subject to a range of conditions, obviously forestry, land usage changes and the likes, and also other countries playing their part. And at the moment, they are at a considerably lower end than what our expectations were.
In what forum do you expect an agreement to be reached, given that the full UNFCCC don't seem to end up in something of a shambles?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's an extremely good question. We don't know at this point. I mean, there are very low expectations currently coming out of Mexico. I think it's fair to say the Mexicans are lowballing their expectations of what might be achieved at the end of the year. But we're a long way away from that. Early discussions are starting now, so let's see where it takes us. But you know, obviously, Copenhagen proved that this is a difficult process. And ultimately, we need the big emitting countries, the developing countries, India, China and Brazil to be playing their part alongside the United States and other developed countries.
Given what's happened in the developed world, what's happening in the developed world, it's very unlikely that we'll have to meet these targets.
Well, I think if we're going to be successful in achieving an appropriate response to climate change, it's important that we do. But I think the main point that New Zealand's always been trying to have, I think, under our government, is that we should have a response that's commensurate with our ability to both meet that target, and that's relative to other countries in the world. And at the moment, just on the analysis that we're seeing, we're actually stepping up a little more than a lot of other countries now. We expect them to do more, or we would do less.
Yeah,
The Associate Education Minister has expressed concern about national standards, saying he was barely consulted and that there are huge dangers for Māori in this policy. What's your reaction to that?
Well, firstly, the Associate Minister had considerable briefings, and I think he would acknowledge that if you asked him that now. So in that regard, he had substantial briefings. Really, the point he was picking up on and talking about was the issue about lead tables. He was really making the point about parents might pick and choose schools on inaccurate information. Well, the simple facts of life are that that's not an issue the government needs to confront until 2012. So we will be working alongside Dr. Sharples and other interested parties to make sure that as we gather that information in 2011, it is put together on a basis that can reflect important information to parents, but not give the sort of false information, if you like, that Dr. Sharples was concerned about.
Was he confused about the fact that he had been briefed or not?
Oh, you need to take that with him, but all I can tell you is he's Associate Minister and he's had all of the papers gone to his office.
Has he had a briefing today then with the Minister himself?
I don't know. I've had discussions with him and made sure that he's had all the information available, and we'll continue to make sure that's available to him.
So have you had a discussion with him today?
Just to make sure he has all the information.
Were you concerned about the comments that he was making?
Well, I want to put his mind at rest that he shouldn't be concerned about the issue of league tables, because that's an issue that we need to confront in 2012. And by the time we get there, I'm totally confident we'll have that position.
You said last week that you weren't going to stop the media compiling league tables. Do you still stand by that?
Yeah, but I mean, that's the process that we want to work through, which is how we balance transparency around schooling and the results with making sure that there's accurate information. And that's the challenge, isn't it? That's the bit that we need to work our way through. We've made quite clear ourselves we haven't resolved that issue yet, but we'll start gathering that information in 2011 and presenting it in 2012. Now, we need to work through how we do that in the most effective way.
Did he give you any undertaking about that he would not repeat his comments from this morning?
I didn't seek that from him. I just made sure that he was aware of what we were doing and made him sure that he was aware that he'd be fully up to speed with any things we were doing, and happy to make sure he was involved in the process.
The Associate Education Minister criticising, you know, a flagship education policy, isn't that a breach of the agreement between National and Māori Charter?
Well, as I said to you, you know, I'm not going to comment on that particular aspect of it. Let's simply make the point that the particular issue that he raised is something I wanted to make sure that he wasn't concerned about, because there's no need for him to be concerned about it.
But how is it confidence inspiring? You know, it's being rolled out this week, and there's already been a lot of controversy. Has it been smooth sailing? The Associate Minister coming out isn't exactly a...
Well, I think it's important to understand that there will always be those that push back against national standards, and we're seeing that from the unions. On the other side of the coin, this is a very important debate for New Zealand to have. This is about making sure that young New Zealanders get an adequate education, or are, have extra emphasis put on them to expand their opportunities. It's not just about the 1 in 5 that to have an adequate literacy and numeracy skills. It's also about making sure that we really push students who are capable of doing a lot more. Now, all of the academic advice that I've received indicates this policy is likely to have an even bigger impact for Māori and Pacific New Zealanders than it will a lot of other New Zealanders. So it's a very important issue for Māori.
So the policy be backed up by money? I mean, for instance, once the national standards identify those students who are failing, will that extra money then go into extra resources, special teaching to lift them up?
It is being backed up by money. There's $26 million going into teaching and to assisting them. There's $35 million, I think, going into certain aspects of lifting the performance of students that that need extra help, and there's $75 million going to specialist teachers. So the government's backing up national standards with a considerable amount of cash.
This is the policy that you've said you want the Education Minister to focus on. That's why you've taken the tertiary education portfolio off of her. She's refusing to do interviews on it. How is that communicating the government's policy?
Oh, she'll be doing interviews when they're appropriate, but she probably knew. If you're asking her about today, then she would have known that I'll be making comments at the post-cabinet presser, and would probably want to make sure that she had an opportunity to follow on from my comments.
So she was told not to front me?
I don't know if she was told to do that. We've had cabinet this morning, but a lot of ministers just wait and see what I say at post-cabinet presser before
so
they make comments.
So now you've made your comments, she'll be fronting. Yeah, will she? She'll be available for interviews.
Well, we're not stopping it, so give her a
right. What concerns do has he raised with you, and what undertakings have you given him?
Oh, his concerns are about implementation risk. he has been a strong proponent of effectively national standards, but his concern is to make sure that we are setting the right benchmarks, we're measuring people in the right way, and that's implemented smoothly. We've had a number of discussions. I'm not in a position we've had those discussions last week, and from those discussions I think you will see some actions flow, but I don't want to detail those today.
Are you aware of any schools that are refusing to implement the national standards?
I've obviously seen the media reports about schools in Northland. I simply make the point that when it comes to schools, the boards of trustees are Crown entities. Crown entities are required to operate under the law. This is the law, and it would be my expectations that boards of trustees and schools will follow this policy. Now, we are going to give them all the help that they need to make this happen. We want to work constructively with them. Now, I think the parents of New Zealand want to see a good outcome here, and we're determined to make that work. But because one or two people are hesitant for this policy, doesn't mean it shouldn't be implemented. It's going to be implemented, and it's going to make a difference to the future of young New Zealanders.
What are the consequences for schools legally if they don't, and what can the government or the ministry do?
Well, they would be in breach of the law, but this isn't going to be a showdown at the courtroom. This is about the government working constructively with the schooling sector. Now, we're going to do that. The Education Minister is focused fully on this matter. We'll work with them. There'll always be some teachers and some principals who won't support this policy. I mean, we understand that. That's also true around the world. It's true in places like Australia. But in the end, you've got to say, what's the status quo? And the status quo is 1 in 5 young New Zealanders with hopelessly inadequate literacy and numeracy skills, a lot of other New Zealanders who are above the national standard but not being pushed to achieve even greater heights. And in the end, that's not good enough for me, and it's not good enough for our government.
Can I just clarify, did Dr. Sharples, prior to today, express any concern
Well, can't speak for other ministers, I don't know, but not with me.
And you're quite relaxed, though, about him criticising education policy as Associate Education Minister?
Well, ministers will make their views held, but I mean, he's bound by collective responsibility like any minister ultimately is. Now, from time to time, ministers express a view. But in this particular case, I just wanted to make sure that he felt comfortable, because the point he was making was a point that doesn't need to be addressed and isn't part of the rollout of national standards as of today.
No, it's something inherent in the whole principle of it, isn't it?
Eventually, but how that issue is addressed and how that information is collated and presented both to schools and parents is something that hasn't been decided yet. And the point he was making is that parents might pick and choose schools. It might be negative for certain schools because of the way that information is presented. Well, that's not a challenge for 2010. It may be for 2012, but it's not for 2010.
So do you not consider that it was a breach of cabinet responsibility, his criticisms?
No.
So what would constitute a breach?
Someone that wouldn't support a policy. Ministers have a range of views.
General Manaparaya said last week that the SAS has been making arrests in Afghanistan. How many arrests have been made today?
Can't answer that question, but if you take that up directly with the General, I'm sure he'll give you the answer.
Would you know a ballpark figure?
I don't know.
Would you know where those detainees are now?
No, I don't even know if there are any detainees, so you'd need to take that with them. I haven't had any advice on that yet.
The animal
welfare
that'll be considered
at caucus
tomorrow and looking pretty likely.
That's right. I mean, look, I think it's a matter of topical interest. I think it's a matter that concerns New Zealanders, and clearly other political parties share our view that we need to have a look at this issue. I think it's highly likely that that caucus will adopt the bill that Simon Bridges proposed. And ultimately they'll need to go to a select committee, and we'll need to look at the wider issues. It's a very short bill, so we'll need to look at maybe some other issues that in that particular space. But the broad principle and the thrust of the suggestions by Simon Bridges seem to be in line with our views.
And the caucus tomorrow plotting out for the year as well, looking at a strategy type caucus meeting?
Yeah, first sort of caucus of the year, an opportunity for us to give the caucus an update on our thinking for the year, our challenges, our opportunities, our expectations of them. It's a big year for us in 2010, so I think I'm looking forward to it tomorrow.
The Marae Digi poll shows that Māori voters, only a third of Māori voters intending to vote Labour, back Phil Goff as the best person to lead Labour. Do you think that Phil Goff has been hurt by the Nation Hate speech he made warning about racial divisionalism?
Well, I'm not sure the reason why they don't have confidence in the Labour leader. That's at least for those voters to answer. But when I read that poll, the point I took out of it was that overwhelmingly, Maori voters are expressing through that poll support of National and the relationship that we have with the Maori Party. And I think they're seeing that as a constructive and positive way of advancing race relations. And in my view, that's the issue that I want to address. And as I said, I think last week, one of the legacies I'd like to have of our government is that we have improved race relations, that we've moved on from a grievance mentality that some people have into a much more positive view of where New Zealand can go.
You said last October that you rejected requests from the Afghan government to train and operate with Afghan forces. And of course, last week, General Matthai said that the SAS have been working with VAs on the mentoring houses.
Yeah, so the question that was asked in October in relation to OMLIF, which is the full-time training and mentoring in theatre commitment, we don't have that, nor will we be having that. From time to time, our forces will provide training, less mentoring, but more likely be training. And that is part of the responsibilities of some of the personnel in the SAS, but it is not the overwhelming part of what they are doing. They are our elite combat forces, and they are not in Afghanistan as an omelet. They are there to provide a whole range of different functions.
Do you support the rise in the price of cigarettes?
Do you mean in terms of the rise in the excise tax? What I can tell you is that evidence supports that the fastest way to reduce smoking is through price. That is the most effective way to reduce the demand for smoking is through price elasticity. I think the fact that you're seeing so many smokers themselves through political polls supporting an increase in the price of cigarettes and excise tax, I think reflects that they themselves actually probably want to give up smoking, and quite frankly, even if it means it costs them more and that makes them stop, they're not opposed to that measure. Whether that ultimately happens or not is not something that the Cabinet's considered at this point. We will do. There's been a strong voice put in the debate, if you like, and arguments put up by Taliana Turia. We accept those, that she feels strongly about that issue, but we haven't made a decision yet.
Is it possible that could be part of the tax changes?
Possible, but it would be, if there were changes, it would be modest in comparison to other changes we might make.
Is this something that could be? I know she's bringing a paper to something that could take place in the May budget?
It's possible, or it could happen at some other time. We haven't actually had that debate yet about whether it would happen and if it happened, when it would happen.
But based on that research you've seen, which has obviously come out on a number of occasions now, you support the excise tax going up as a tool to stop people smoking?
That wasn't what I said. What I said is that the evidence shows that the fastest way to stop people smoking is through increase in price, or the most effective way anyway. We need to think through all of those issues. We haven't done that yet, and I don't want to prejudge any Cabinet discussion that we might have on the matter.
The return of the diplomatic corps to Waitangi, that is like the first time a whole group has gone en masse for quite a long time.
Yeah, it's very significant. I think there's 60 members, I think the Governor-General is expecting.
So they're going to be guests of this?
Or yes, guests of the Governor-General's invitation.
Have you sent a...
I haven't at this time, but I will be doing that.
Do you find
it odd?
Strange,
I find it very sad. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm not going to comment on the other aspects of what may or may not have occurred, but it's just not privy to that information. I knew Herman well. I went to his wedding with Vicky. He was a loyal friend to me. And it's tragic when anyone's murdered, and in a case where I know them well, obviously I feel that a bit more closely.
Did Stephen Joyce brief Cabinet at all today on measures to make taxi drivers safer?
No, we didn't.
The Minister of Trade Negotiations in Asia now, what is he talking with China and Japan?
I think he's going for a number of reasons. He's going to talk to them about the Global Alliance, and whether China will put up financial support along with America and other countries for the Global Alliance for Climate Change. In general, of course, just be a relationship visit. We obviously have our free trade agreement with China, and there'll be discussions there. He's also clearly the our minister now responsible for international negotiations when it comes to climate change, so I expect him to have some discussions in that area as well. Okay, thanks much.